Hello and welcome to the Beer Jerk Podcast. I'm Luke.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Lyra.
Typical vocal response from Lyra, my 4-month-old.
So, a few changes this week in the Beer Jerk Podcast. Matt is off on paternity leave.
Yeah, so first time I've been back in a beer warehouse in 3 whole days.
So Matt's popped in to see us today to record the podcast, especially with his little baby Lyra. So she may be making some interjections here and there.
Yeah, she's got a lot to contribute. Got a little cry. She's probably getting pretty hungry now. There she goes.
A few opinions. So that's a bit of a change over the next 4 months or so. Matt's going to be being a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, so you might hear some remote records coming or some little contributions from Lyra. But we'll see how that goes.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to get some bit more home brewing done, been at home more.
Yeah, well, I've just made a phone call on my way over here to get some grain. I'm going to have a crack at brewing that table beer tomorrow, hopefully.
Yes.
So, got my lime leaf tincture on the go. It's all underway.
Exciting. And another change. We had a chat with our mate Tim Batt last week, who's a famous celebrity New Zealand podcaster.
Of the worst idea of all time and a few other podcasts that he's got. He's got his own podcast network, Little Empire.
And he's a professional comedian. He pulled together a show for us last night at the Fridge and Flagon that he hosted. We had Eli Mathewson and a bunch of other great comedians.
Yeah, we used to host a regular comedy night with him when we had the Bunker just around the corner. It was called Hot Comedy. And it looks like that's going to be coming back.
Yeah, it's going to be cool doing more comedy nights at the Fridge and Flagon. But we pumped him with some tips, a few bits of advice that we'll be implementing over the coming weeks. And one of which is our shows are a bit long. Last week it was nearly an hour and a half. So we're going to start splitting up our interviews and our weekly shows. So every Thursday, me and Matt will continue putting out our weekly news podcast. And then when we interview our different fantastic guests, they'll be coming out in between those ones.
And if there's any other one-off segments that come up, we might be doing the odd unique episode as we go forward, rather than keeping them all the same format. But for now, today, you're going to be seeing the regular format out of the show. But expect to see some new exciting stuff coming into the feed pretty soon.
Yep. We've got an interview in the can with our friend Mike Cheer, so we'll be talking about him shortly.
Ooh, Frank.
About Norwegian yeast. So that'll be coming out in a few days. What have you been drinking recently, Matt?
Well, I've had some good things lately. Not as much, because I haven't been in at the warehouse picking some stuff up. But I had Garage Project Fresh July, which is the latest in their monthly series of hazy IPAs. Which might be the best one.
Okay.
It's, I think, I've had a few favorites over time, and it's hard to remember them all now that there have been so many, but I really enjoyed it. It's just everything you want a New England IPA to be, just big, tropical, juicy, hazy, no hop burn, bit bright hop character, just, yeah, absolute stunner. And
it's an interesting thing, taste and memory, and with that series in particular, and also the 802 series from McLeod's, and they'll often chat to people and they'll say, you know, this one was the best ever or that one was the best ever, and it's kind of like, how the heck do you remember what you drank in February last year? You drank so many beers since then.
Well, I think part of it is those strong sense memories stick with you. It's like, no, I drank that and it was great. So if you ask me what was March last year, like, I've got no idea. But I know May last year was fantastic. It was the silver can with the astronaut, because I drank that and I was like, oh yeah, that's great. But trying to do those comparisons, and even like, you can drink the same beer based on what you've just eaten, what you've had, what else you've drunk that day, whether you've got a cold, what kind of mood you're in. The perception changes drastically from person to person, palate to palate, and within your own experience.
Yeah, so without comparing those actual beers side by side, it's not really possible. And there's some interesting statistics. I remember reading some reports about wine judging, and just about in these judging competitions, we have the same in beer with BGCP, and it's kind of impossible to objectively judge a beverage, because there are so many things that are different, and you can have the same room of judges would judge the identical wines, or beers in our case, a month later, and they might get different responses.
Well, yeah, that's right. And I think one of the things with having judged a couple of competitions is palate fatigue is a real thing as well. Like, it matters a lot what order you drink things in. The thing you drink at the beginning of the day, your palate might not be warmed up to that bitterness yet. The thing that you drink at the end of the day, you might have had some great beers beforehand, and an otherwise good beer doesn't stand up as well in comparison, so it drops down a peg. So it's everyone tries to be very impartial, but your palate and your perception isn't. So
yeah, it's not a totally controllable thing. We'll add some Garage Project Hazy Beer last night as well. I had the Arrow Street last night.
Classic.
Yeah. So they've done a new batch of that. They've released it four times, maybe.
And rightly so. It's maybe the best hazy that's ever been put out in New Zealand.
Yeah, Arrow Street for me changed things.
Yeah, absolutely. It really upped the level in New Zealand in general.
Prior to that, I had had some New England IPAs in the States and in Britain, and I hadn't tasted anything that had, I suppose, quite the mouthfeel, the body, the softness, the expression of hops. I'd had New Zealand hazy IPAs, which were kind of a progression on the style, whereas a New England IPA is kind of a totally different beast.
Yeah, I mean, it's a culmination of a lot of different factors that go to making a beer like that. And like I say, it's mouthfeel, it's hop character, it's age, it's oxygen, and there's an X factor there that even a lot of professional brewers we talk to don't know how to put their finger on. Mm. And I think that there are a few guarded secrets there that they're secret to me, so I don't know what they are. But yeah, there is a very different character between a lot of hazy IPAs and your top tier ones that there's an X factor that you just can't replicate, and stuff like July and Arrow Street both have it.
Well, I had a couple of glasses of that. I was at this chicken place on K Road, Karanga Happy Road, called Lowbrow.
Is that the one in St. Kevin's Arcade?
Yep. So happy to see that on tap. And I don't go out much in general, and when I do go out, I'll mainly go to places that I know have good beers on.
Yeah.
But I was catching up with a couple of friends, and they decided to go there. And yeah, most places around New Zealand, well, the world, just have crap beer on tap.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame that, I mean, we particularly see it in Auckland, and that just tide taps are a major problem. Like, Lion and DB own the distribution on out of so many bars. And you go to a Lion bar and you've got your Emerson's, your Panhead, your Max. You go to a DB bar, you got your Monteith's, your Black Dog, your Tuatara. And there's the illusion of choice, but it's really nice to see more and more people going the free house route and opening up those taps as demand increases. And hopefully, you look at Wellington, and they've managed to an extent, break that duopoly, and you see a lot more good beers around because the customers demand it. So hopefully we see that up here as well.
Yeah, but it still is such a minority, and it puts things into perspective sometimes when you look at the actual numbers and see what percentage of independent beer is drunk in New Zealand. It's maybe 5% or so, and for us, that's our whole world. Like, all these businesses we work with and this entire industry of craft beer, they're all battling each other for this 6% of the market.
Yeah, and I think it's the main obstacle to the growth of the craft beer industry in New Zealand. We've got a lot of breweries, we've got a lot of world-class breweries, world-class ingredients, but without the option to distribute kegs more widely throughout the market, it puts a cap on how much those businesses can grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking of lots of interesting beers, we had Jabs on Saturday. So that was the Jerks Auckland Beer Showcase. The mini festival that we put on here at the Fridge and Flagon, just for all the disappointed people that weren't able to go to Gabs due to it being postponed.
Yeah, and in my new stay-at-home dad role, I was unable to make it out, but how did it go?
It was packed. So
great.
Way busier than we expected. I think a lot of people were in town for the booked flights and things for Gabs, so that they came along. We had an incredible tap list.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that.
We had a really cool food truck, these Hype Burger guys.
That was Baby G again?
Yep. We had our mates from Urban Ork came in with DJing. The sun was shining, which is absolutely essential to a winter beer festival. So
yeah, for sure.
Blue skies. I was just standing out there in a t-shirt, drinking Dunkelweizen, living my best life.
Yeah, I just had a little taste of a couple of the beers on tap just before we started recording. And definitely some winners there. Just from a very brief, very small taste, that Alibi Sour is absolutely stunning, just top tier. And I really enjoyed...
Not everyone was happy with the Alibi Sour.
Really?
Yeah, so I was chatting with a friend of mine who had his little three-year-old daughter along.
Yeah, she didn't like it?
Well, no, she just saw everybody drinking the Alibi Sour and thought it was a berry smoothie, because it's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So she was just, this little girl was hassling her dad, saying, can I have the berry drink, please? And she just wasn't. So it,
denied, little girl.
Yeah, it looked like a dozen people were standing around drinking that, and another dozen people standing around drinking custody orange juice with the Parrot Dog LB.
Well, that was the other one I was just about to bring up, was I haven't even tried everything, but those were the two standouts for me, just off my brief run through a couple of the taps just now.
Yeah, the McLeod's Dunkelweizen was lovely. Obviously, I'm very that way inclined anyway, with German beer styles. But and I really enjoyed our beer that we did with Whistling Sisters.
Yeah, Mother Maiden Crone, which I think we talked about last week. Yeah, we had a little taste of that when the first cans came in, and very happy with that.
Yeah, that's going down really well with people. We've had some really nice feedback for that. And I think brewing something like a triple, you're going up against the greatest brewers ever that have honed and perfected the craft for decades, if not centuries.
Yeah, so nice to have something that stands up to that and puts its own unique twist on it.
Yeah, and I think working with the guys at Whistling Sisters, just having a Padmal and just his wealth of experience.
So much experience. Like, one of the craziest brewing CVs that I've seen around. So all over the world, from major breweries and little guys. And
Of only two qualified master brewers in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And he's brewed in Sri Lanka, India, Japan, Australia. So awesome working with him, and also with the assistant brewer, Logan, who's a good mate of ours, who's just a major frother.
Yeah. Is Logan the loveliest man in the world?
I think it's very likely, yeah. He is a very sweet man.
He is.
Hey, Logan, hope you're listening. And the new release of Opium Cake's pretty good, hey?
Yeah, I didn't get to try it first time round. I think it was one of the only beer of the weeks where we didn't actually get to send it to everyone, which was a bit upsetting.
We were so gutted. We with the Beer Jet Beers of the Week, we send the same beers all over the country and everyone drinks them all at the same time on a Thursday night. But with the Opium Cake that was brewed by 8Wide in collaboration with their mates at Pinta in Poland, they accidentally sent half of our allocation to Poland rather than sending it to us. So we only had half as much, so we had to split that as a beer of the week for our members. And we sent out an equally awesome beer from 8Wired.
It's the Malbec Barrel Aged Baltic Porter?
Yeah, it was ridiculously good. A lot of people, and rightly so, they wanted to drink the same beer, and they're a bit annoyed at missing out, and you were one of them.
Yeah, because usually I take home my beer of the week on the week that it goes out to members, and I went down and found out all the Opium Cake's been sent out.
So, all gone.
But yeah, I got to try it this time. And really nice kind of chocolate orange vibes, a little hint of spice there.
It's thick as well. Really full-bodied, I find.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of...
Or maybe just more so than the previous version.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because I just had a Gorky Park before, which is just treacle.
You can't follow that with anything.
No, so...
Bad.
Yeah, but that was really nice, and glad I got a chance to try it in the little cans.
Yeah. You mentioned homebrewing before.
Yeah.
Tell us about your homebrewing methods.
So my recommendation for this week is Beersmith. So Beersmith is a pretty popular, well-known homebrewing app, and it's basically used for recipe design and creation from everything from your homebrew scale right up to commercial batches. You can put in any kind of equipment profile, and it's got a massive library of ingredients in there. You can add local ingredients. So for instance, in New Zealand, you can add New Zealand hops, Gladfield malts, local yeasts and stuff like that. So they've got all the specifications of the ingredients in there. So you can pop in your malt bill, your hop bill, the yeast you're going to use, and it will tell you, well, based on this, it'll be this color, it'll be this strength, this is how bitter it will be, this is how strong it will be, and you can tinker with the ingredients and put all your recipes together in there. Then there's a resource on the Beersmith website where you can share your recipes, view other people's recipes. So it's a really useful homebrewing tool. And all those, once you get your results out, it's benchmarks against a style. So for instance, you can say, I'm brewing a West Coast, an IPA at home, and you tell Beer Smith that you're brewing an IPA, and you put in the ingredients you want, and you'll and it'll say, actually, this is going to be too weak. You haven't put enough malt in, or well, it's not going to say specifically you haven't put enough malt in, but it's going to say, all right, your gravity is going to be 1050. And gravity reading is a measurement of the density of the liquid, which tells you how much sugar is in there. And so it's going to be 1050, but it needs to be 1070. So you can see the results of your ingredients in real time as you're inputting the recipe. And you can see as well how well it fits to the style that you're trying to brew. So it's a really handy tool for home brewers. And I know that a lot of professional brewers use it as well to control their brew days and put everything together.
Is it free?
No, it's not free. So there's a limited trial version you can use on the desktop that's free. Mm-hmm. But it's a paid app, but it's a one-off purchase. Of about $30, so you can pick it up and give it a go. So if you're serious about home brewing and you're wanting to take it to the next level, it's a really useful tool.
It's funny, isn't it, how with apps, often people expect them to be free as if there isn't an intrinsic value, and so many apps are just so super useful, and people would happily spend $50 on a brewing book, but then if it's an app, people might be hesitant. Okay, so time for us to drink a beer.
Now, you guys will have probably already become sick of us talking about this beer, because I think we've mentioned it on, I think we may have not talked about it last week or the week before, but this beer is Satan, Satan, Satan.
Yeah.
So this is a beer we brewed as Small Gods with our mate Mike Cheer, who has his brand Malt Cult, and it is a gunpowder bock.
And this is a beer. Cheers, Matt.
Cheers.
Small Gods is us. It's the Beer Jack guys, and they. We started Small Gods when it was me and my friend Brent, the Beer Jack co-founder. Years ago, before we started Beer Jack, we were keen home brewers and doing brew in a bag brewing, and we called it Small Gods in honor of the yeasts and as Terry Pratchett fans. And over the years as Beer Jack, we just set up a whole bunch of collaborations, and we'd often be chatting to our brewer friends about ideas for beers, or you know, putting together a brewer with Giappo, the ice cream maker, or we bought Moondog over and set them up with collaborations at, you know, 8 Wild and Duncan's. And one day I was reading about Braunschweiger Mumm that we've chatted a little bit about on the show.
And we'll talk about more soon.
Yeah. And I was just so desperate to make one. And at the time, we were chatting to our mates at Double Vision. And we said, well, actually, we'll buy loads of it. Can we make this together? And we worked through some recipes. And that was our first ever collaboration, which was a little over 2 years ago. And yeah, we decided to do it under our name as Small Gods.
And yeah, it's that kind of set the tone for what we're trying to do with Small Gods, which is, apart from anything else, it's largely a collaborative project. We have been working with cool brewers and other cool people outside the beer industry, which we're hoping to continue. But really, it's taking Luke's love of traditional historic styles and the stories around beer, and my love of modern experimentation and tweaks on recipes and adjuncts and full flavor, and doing interesting twists or modern revivals of historical styles for the most part. But we're going to be looking at what else we can do in terms of taking it into looking at modern brewing techniques and other stuff like that, to really kind of push the boundaries and try and do interesting things with a purpose, and trying to revive interesting flavors and take things in a new direction.
Well, we've got all of history to draw from.
There's so much out there. It's like the history of beer is so extensive.
And also, I think what a lot of the beers that we make have in common is that they're pretty unfashionable or unsaleable. And that's kind of why we started it, because no brewer wanted to make an oat mild. But when we said, we'll work with you on it, and it'll be a collaboration, and you know, we'll put our part into it, and we'll buy a whole load of it.
Yeah, and kind of mitigating the risk for brewers, because a lot of brewers love to brew this interesting stuff, but if there's not a guaranteed market for them, it's hard to justify putting down a whole batch.
I thought back to that first Small Gods commercial brew, the Black Narcissus, yesterday. I went to the dentist.
Oh, I remember what happened there.
Yeah, so I was just I was mashing out, so I'm shoveling the mash tun, and then I don't think Mario knew that I was in there, so he turned on the forks inside the mash tun, these bigger rotary things, and it took the shovel, and the shovel whacked me in the mouth, and I got a big whack in my tooth. But yeah, yesterday at the dentist, he said, "Oh, have you had a big impact to your front tooth?" And I couldn't remember anything, and then it hit me that I had.
And it hit like a shovel.
Well, the dentist said your tooth's dead, and that's why it's going dark. So like one of my front two teeth is darker than the other one. So I said, "Oh, have we got to have like a false tooth or something?" But apparently they can do some like root canal surgery.
Yeah, well, I've had that surgery because I got my teeth kicked out when I was 17. So one of my front teeth is dead.
It looks fine.
Yeah, well, they drilled in there and they pulled out the nerve and put some bleach up there. So kind of got bleached from the inside and then had to get veneers a few years later anyway.
Well, that's what I can look forward to at some point soon.
Fun times.
Brewing injuries. Be safe and brew, listeners.
Yeah.
So we're drinking Satan, Satan, Satan.
Yeah.
And it's a Bock, which is a beer style that I absolutely love. Strong dark lager. And I'm really excited about everyone drinking it this week.
And as per Small Gods tradition, we have completely bastardized it by adding gunpowder. So this was a beer that actually came from a song, which was Orbital, I believe.
Yes, I was walking through it. So there's a park in Auckland called Myers Park, and there's this wonderful sculpture of a family of goats.
I think you may have heard this story on the podcast before, listeners.
And I was walking past it, and I was just suddenly overtaken with a huge desire to drink Bock, but also to create a Bock, because there aren't many around in New Zealand, and all Bocks have a picture of a goat on the label, because Bavarians, when they say Beck, sounds a bit like goat, and that's always been the sign of a Bock. And yeah, when we're discussing about, theology or history and which kind of deities might be related to goats, we're thinking about satyrs and Pan, and then suddenly it hit me that the Orbital song, Satan, Satan, Satan.
So pause the podcast, go and listen to the intro of that song. You only need to listen to the first 20 seconds, it's on YouTube, and then come back.
And that is the music match for this week's beer. So yeah, of course we couldn't just brew a traditional Bock, we had to chuck gunpowder in, and some of the traditionalists aren't as keen. We sent a can to our mate Christopher at Zeeland, who's a fantastic brewer of all kinds of traditional European beers. And he said, yeah, it's a delicious Bock. I'd love to taste it without the gunpowder crap in there.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of what we're going to do is going to upset traditionalists. But when we came up with the concept for this beer, we were talking about, we came up with Satan and came up with the goat. And
what does that taste like?
And the first thing that, we're like, well, we collaborate, so who are we going to collaborate with?
Mm.
Which led us to our good friend Mike Cheer.
Yeah, Mike's a great mate of ours. He's in a metal band. He's a bit like Sherlock Holmes. He's a consulting brewer these days.
Yeah, so he used to be a lead brewer at Steam. He's worked at Harrington's, and he's recently kind of taken Volstead. So if you've seen any of Volstead's cans down in Christchurch, he's kind of built up their processes and got them all set up.
Yeah.
And he's just a really technical brewer with a great palate and a fantastic attitude, and he's a lovely guy to brew with because he knows what he's talking about, and he plays good metal music.
Yeah, and he's pretty into Satan. And so this was the first beer that we've collaborated on all our Small Gods beers, but it's the first time we worked with somebody that doesn't have a brewery, because Mike's a consultant. So this beer we contract brewed. There are contract facilities around New Zealand and around the world. It's kind of like a commercial kitchen, I suppose. So yeah. It isn't. I suppose what we did is cuckoo brewing, and there's other brewers do contract brewing. So you wouldn't literally have the brewer, well, the owner of the brewing company wouldn't go and turn up at the brewery and mash in and everything. They'd send a recipe through to the company and they'd create it.
Yeah, but we went out there and had a good muck around. And one of the things that we did that was unusual is, the addition of gunpowder. So we were looking at the historical recipe for black powder and sort of what goes into it. And essentially, modern gunpowder is different, but in historical gunpowder, you have saltpeter, carbon, and sulfur. So we were looking at ways to, like, can we get those ingredients into a beer?
And we did.
Yeah,
so,
we did.
So this beer literally contains gunpowder.
Yeah, so we were looking at ways to do that in a way that would be both safe to drink and...
palatable.
And palatable. So there are a few ingredients there that we settled on to create that gunpowder effect. The first one, saltpeter. So saltpeter is potassium nitrate. It is used in both fertilizer and in curing meat. So it is a salt. So we looked at Gosa's and other beers where salt is an addition for reference points for that. It's a salt that can be pretty hard to get hold of because it's on a lot of watch lists because people can make explosives out of them, like gunpowder. So we managed to track down a chemical supplier who was able to provide us with that. We used metabisulfite, which is a ingredient in winemaking.
Mm.
And then carbon, we used oak smoked wheat malt. So we wanted to incorporate that smoke flavor that and the carbon from that, which is how we got those three ingredients in there. But I think I may have gotten in trouble searching for those ingredients, Luke.
Yeah, your internet history probably wouldn't be the best after searching for bomb making materials. But then also when we're working on the design for the can and the so that there's a beautiful typeface on the back of the can that we use for the words Satan, and I was trying to describe it to Matt with, and I said, oh, it's that like historic medieval German font that you don't really see much of these days because the Nazis kind of co-opted it and they don't use it a lot these days, but it's fine for us to use because people that aren't Germans don't really associate it with National Socialism.
And there's plenty of historical uses for it.
Yeah.
But, so my search history for that day was something like, buy saltpeter online, gunpowder ingredients, where to get bulk saltpeter, evil imagery, goats, Satan, dark images.
It was a lot of fun finding the artist and just finding the perfect artwork for this can.
Yeah, and then ultimately Nazi font as the capper on that site. Who's this guy who's searching for satanic imagery, gunpowder ingredients and Nazis? Maybe we should keep an eye on this guy.
So it's probably for the best that you're lying low for a little bit with your paternity leave.
Yeah, take 4 months off with this one and let the heat die down.
So the taste of the beer, I was so happy when it came out. Oh, and we made it in the traditional way, so we lagered it for a very extended period of quite a few weeks as well to give it that, I suppose, that dry finish, that complexity, that clarity of flavour. And I think it's just a delicious beer.
Yeah, it's got some interesting kind of spice notes to it. It's got smoke. It's got, that kind of sulfury kind of brimstone note.
I think drinking this blind, if you didn't know about gunpowder, you might think it had maybe a touch of like chipotle spice or just real delicate, almost chili kick to it.
Yeah, a little bit, but it works well with this kind of, it's got a nice caramelly malt character. It's got a dry finish, so nothing is out of balance. And that's really something we've got to thank Mike for, is that the way that he's integrated those flavors into the recipe so carefully that while you are getting a unique and interesting flavor profile there, and it does taste like hell. It's got smoke, it's got brimstone, it's got sulfur, but it is in complement to the base beer.
And another fun thing about Small Gods beers that we make is that the beers are definitely not brewed by accountants. Nobody was checking over our ingredients bill or packaging or anything. I feel like some of the beers that we're making recently, they simply wouldn't happen at a brewery that's run by grown-ups.
Yeah,
and being counters, as evidenced by the beautiful but stupid wax that's on every single damn can.
Yep. So at first a fun and then a slightly tedious few days. Hand dipping every single can in wax. We did a lot of research to find the correct formulation to get the wax to the point we wanted it with that kind of nice shiny finish, a bit hard wearing, and also with those beautiful runnels coming down. So I'm pretty happy with how that result came out there.
And we've had some great feedback. People really like the look of the can.
Yeah, and I think it's nice that we're in a position where we're not having to sell through supermarkets or through retail in that conventional way, that we can not put any words on the front of the can and not put a barcode on it. So kind of thinking about the can as an art piece in itself, and how can we really make it stand out as a beautiful object. And we've got a couple more things coming down the track in that mold.
Yeah, so Satan, Satan, Satan is the first in a trilogy. And the next two beers are currently in the tanks.
And so keep an eye out for those coming out in the next 2 months or so. And we're going to be dropping those, and some really exciting things to come.
All right, we've probably had enough of us waffling on about Satan, Satan, Satan. I hope you will enjoy it out there. What else is new, Matt?
It's been a bit of a quiet week for beer news, or it has been as far as I'm concerned, because I've been looking at a four-month-old for the whole time.
You've been wearing a pretty sweet beanie, though.
I have been wearing a pretty sweet beanie. We got our Beer Jerk beanies came in at the end of last week, so I've been rocking around with that. Those are available for sale now on the website. The other thing that's come up is Beervana tickets have gone on sale, and a lot of those have sold out already. And it looks like it's going to be a good one this year.
Yeah, I think so. It's good to see that people are keen. There's going to be a few Australian brewers hopefully coming over, bubbles permitting.
Yeah, seven different Australian breweries were featuring at Beervana last year, and I think as the largest beer festival in the world last year, subject to fact checking, I think there's some pretty fun hype around it, and I think Australians are really starting to pay attention to what's going on in the New Zealand scene, and as well as New Zealanders paying attention to what's going on in Australia. I think hopefully we're part of finally busting that myth that Australians can't make good beer.
Well, I mean, Beer Jerk's the only company that imports independent Australian beer. So hopefully we are, with the beers that we're bringing over from the likes of Hop Nation and Deeds and Moondog and Sellers Grave and Molly Rose and One Drop coming up.
Yeah, and excitingly, we've got another Boat Rocker shipment on the water at the moment. So plenty of good stuff to look forward to at Beervana. And as always, there's going to be a whole raft of excellent new beers there.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. And there's a few new releases that have come out recently.
There are. As we've already discussed, our collaboration with Whistling Sisters, Mother Maiden Crone, which is a triple pepper Belgian triple with white, black and green peppercorns. That's available exclusively from us in 330ml cans. So that's tasting fantastic, and it's available now. We've had some non-alcoholic beers come in it's a company called Big Drop, who are originally a brewery in the UK specializing in non-alcoholic beers, but are actually brewing all over the world. So these ones have been brewed in Australia and just arrived through a new distributor who's specializing in non-alcoholic stuff. So they have a lager, a pale ale, an IPA, and a stout. So if you're doing Dry July or anything like that, you can wet your whistle a little bit with those.
Well, Rose, who's the manager of the Fridge and Flagon here, is pregnant at the moment, so she was so happy to see those come in. So she's been working her way through those and giving them the thumbs up as someone that's not currently drinking alcohol.
Yeah, so those we've only got a little bit around, but I think they might be restocking on those for a little while, so keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
8 Wired, we've already talked about Opium Cake. They've also released Double Scoop, which premiered at Jabs, which is the latest in their Imperial Stout series, which is a cherry chocolate frangipane version. So that's out now in 440ml cans. Garage Project's entry into the Garage Project's entry into the New Zealand IPA Challenge was their latest in their Block Party series, where they've taken a selection of hops from a single field or a single hop garden, which is in this instance Waghorn A, and pump those into a single beer, so you can really get a sense of a unique terroir from a specially selected hop varietal from a specific farm.
Awesome.
Which I think is a trend that we're seeing more and more overseas, where people are really nailing down. It's like, as you see in wine, it's not just this hop, it is this hop from this block of this farm, where brewers have carefully selected the area which is giving them the best character in that beer.
Well, the same as any ingredient.
Yeah, it's all, like, not all ingredients are created equal, so exciting to see that. The latest Sawmill beer, their Nectaron Hazy IPA, is out in cans. We've got two from Choice Bros. One is a coffee coconut porter, and the other is a Fijoa milkshake IPA. We've had two new ones from Epic, again, continuing their trend of releasing a West Coast and an East Coast IPA at the same time, with similar hop profiles. We've got their Hop Cannon West Coast IPA and Golden Haze New England. And we've had a few more up from our mates at Canyon Brewing in their Rapid Sessions series. So we've got three sub 5% 440 ml cans, an amber ale, an XPA, and the blueberry and thyme sour that we talked about last week. Those are all in stock now, and you can check those out.
And lastly, we've got a bit going on at the Fridge and Flagon.
So, as always.
Yeah. So comedy night that we mentioned before, that is going to become a monthly thing. So that'll be on again in about 4 weeks. And other regular things, we've got BJAC Run Club that happens every single Monday. So it's a really awesome, friendly group of people that come together. We run 5Ks and drink a beer or two afterwards. So that's every Monday at 5:30. We've got a vintage market pop-up happening this Sunday. So check out our social media and see what that's about and who's going to be here. Food Truck Fridays every Friday. We've got a really cool hot dog stand coming on Friday. And we're putting quite a bit of work into the West Coast IPA Challenge at the moment. That's the very important festival that happens each year at the Malt House in Wellington.
Well, that's been running for a little while now, and it's been a mainstay in the craft beer calendar for a long time down in Wellington. So we're really excited that we've been working with them on bringing that up to Auckland this year.
Yeah, so we're partnering with the Malt House this year. So the West Coast IPA Challenge is on Friday the 30th of July. And we're going to release a whole bunch of those beers on the Saturday, the 31st of July.
Yeah, so we're going to have a bunch of cool kegs on. Keep an eye on the Malt House social media channels to find out more about what those beers are going to be. At the moment, I think it's still tippy top secret, but expect some fun announcements coming out there, and brewers bring their A game.
And if you're not in Wellington or Auckland and can't go to the events, we're just pulling together a really interesting mixed case from all of the brewers that are going to be packaging those beers as well.
And in case you can't tell, I think my baby is getting pretty sick of me podcasting. So we'll just leave you with the fact that you can find us on our website at beerjerk.co.nz, on Instagram at beerjerknz, on Facebook at The Beer Jerk, and you can find our members group on Facebook at NZ Beer Jerks as well.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm going to be back in your ears in a few days with my interview with our mate Mike Cheer about Norwegian yeast. Until next time, cheers.
Cheers.